Welcome to the One Oahu Podcast. I'm Brandi Higa, and today is Thursday, May 2nd, 2024, and we're joined this week by one of the newest members of our city and county of Honolulu, Ohana, Jordana Ferreira. Jordana, you are the city's new Early Childhood Resource Coordinator.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us.
Correct. Thank you. Happy to be here.
And so this is a pretty new position here in the city and county of Honolulu. So what exactly do you do? What are you responsible for?
That is an excellent question that I get asked very frequently, even by colleagues in the city. Right now, I think the biggest role is to focus on child care programs and how we can enhance access for families with young kids. Many folks know that child care is a great support for children, but it is also a really significant economic support. It allows families to continue working and to sustain financial stability and to secure employment. And it also helps support businesses. So I view this role as something that the city has had a long vested interest in. The city has had a vested interest in supporting small businesses, minority-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, of which childcare facilities really are. And then, of course, supporting all of our inhabitants and promoting their welfare and well-being, of which, of course, kids are a huge part of that here on our island. So I think my role is really figuring out where the city can leverage existing resources and opportunities within the city with other partners to enhance those opportunities for our young kids and our working Ohana.
Yeah, that makes sense, but I'm just not familiar. How is this position or these duties, how is that handled in other municipalities? Because growing up in Hawaii, you know, child care and then even early childhood education, it was kind of grandma, auntie, whoever in the family could help watch them while mom and dad went to work, especially in the early years. But are there other cities where, you know, there is a position like this where the city government steps in to fill that role?
Yeah, absolutely. And we actually have that here in Hawaii and other counties. So Maui County has a child care person as well. Mm-hmm. They've had that position established for at least 15 years now. So they really provide some additional support that's county specific. So in the way that the state can't assist, or if the county can do a little bit more, they sort of step in. So Maui has their own child care subsidy program as well. So they help Maui County residents with assisting with tuition payment for child care. But what municipalities look like is very different. There are a lot of municipalities that support small businesses and provide child care services or child care support. A lot of states really try to focus on supporting the mixed delivery system. So I think when it comes to child care, most states across the nation probably work in tandem with the state and local governments to be able to support child care programs. And that's sort of what I see for the city and county of Honolulu, is to sort of adopt that model of making sure that, you know, we're working closely with the state, who is expanding public pre-K opportunities, but also making sure that we're prioritizing our youngest kids and that we're sustaining existing child care programs so that we really are truly bolstering a mixed delivery system here for Oahu.
Yeah, that really makes sense. What is our role, the city and county of Honolulu? What is our role now? What kind of things are we doing now? What kind of things are implemented? And what do you like to see, you know, improve as you...
Yeah. Great question. I think the biggest thing that the county provides that has actually existed, I want to say since the 80s at least, that I think the city could really do a better job of promoting, is providing the Early Education Center at Honolulu Hale. So it is infant toddler center and preschool program. I believe they are licensed to accept over 200 kids, almost 250 children. The priority is given to city employees for enrollment purposes, but other children, as space is available, can enroll. But again, this has existed since the 80s. It's a space at Honolulu Hale, so it really helps out a lot of working families that work in the downtown area, which is a huge concentration of our workforce. Mm-hmm. But it's a program that's existed for decades, and it's something that the city has started. So the city embarked on being an agency that has provided child care and prioritized child care. It is something that is contracted out to a child care facility, mm-hmm. but it is a city, it's a city property, it's a city program, right, that another facility does administer for us, but it is earmarked specifically for child care.
This has been mentioned a bunch during this administration, but just the coordination and collaboration, right, with the city, state, and then sometimes even private partners. But I'd imagine that's difficult to navigate city and state. How's that been for you so far? I know you haven't even been here.
No. Excellent question. So I came from the state. I was with the state's executive office on early learning for a few years, and then prior to that, working in nonprofit work, one of which was a major contractor for the Department of Human Services, particularly a child care program office. So I think for me personally, because I've been in the field for over a decade now, and I've had the time to build a lot of these relationships on the different levels, it's actually been pretty easy. A lot of state partners are still reaching out to see where we can leverage some existing resources. There's a few grant opportunities that have already been thrown my way that we can tap into. Lots of folks have lots of ideas on how the city can sort of be the leg, I think, or the roots mm-hmm. for some of the work that's happening on the statewide level. So I definitely think the vision in my head is a pretty clear one. Now it's just a matter of doing the work and building the infrastructure within the city to provide those deeper connections and more meaningful access for residents on Oahu based on our unique needs here on the island, which is something that a lot of state agencies, because they have to have that statewide focus, mm-hmm. they don't necessarily have the capacity or the expertise that the counties do. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited that we'll be able to now build those relationships here in the city and county of Honolulu to leverage some of the work that's already going on.
You talked about kind of, you know, the years that you have in this field. How did you get into this? What interested you?
Great question. So my background is actually in psychology. Originally, I wanted to go into mental health, and I worked in the prison system. So I was working with incarcerated individuals. I really had no interest in kids. I wasn't even interested in taking child development classes, but because psychology was so general, mm-hmm. those classes were always available. It was when I came home after graduating from Pacific University in Oregon, my first job was actually working with kids with autism and other diagnoses. And I fell in love with kids. I fell in love with learning. I fell in love with what it looks like and how different it can be. I loved the attitude that kids bring to the world and the wonder and the joy and the awe that comes along with being so young. And I guess I just never left. So I don't know.
And so you went to Pacific University in Oregon. Were you born and raised on Oahu?
Yep.
And where did you go to school?
So I was raised in Waianae, but I went to school all the way out at Sacred Hearts in Kaimuki. So I had the privilege and honor of riding public transportation from a very young age.
And what do you think prepared you for this role? I mean, like you said, you weren't really interested in kids. But something obviously bit, because the passion kind of, I can tell when you're talking about it, that this matters to you.
Yeah. I mean, I've always loved kids. I think kids are just a great population. And I think finally being able to actually work with them sort of, I guess I would say it was kind of dormant. And then having the opportunity to work with kids made me realize that's where I wanted to be. I went into psychology because I was just obsessed with the human brain. I don't know why. I just think the brain is like an extremely fascinating organ, and our capacity as humans and the intellect that we have and the things that we can do because of our brain is super fascinating. And I think working with kids, you see it firsthand, you know, like you see it growing and developing and the way it works in such a, I don't want to use the word rudimentary, but in just such a like innocent, young, fresh way. And, you know, I don't get that when I talk to adults.
Yeah.
I mean, adults are great.
Oh, kids, but are pure, though. Kids are
yes, kids are and pure. Kids are fun.
Yeah. But to take a step above that, right? So not just the kids, but you also help the families of these kids. When you're having a tough day, or, you know, is there ever a story that you fall back on? Like you said, if not for these programs, the parents, or even, you know, aunties, uncles, whoever their caregiver is, wouldn't be able to go to work all day, wouldn't be able to, you know, make a living. Is there kind of a story that you fall back on?
To keep me motivated?
Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, I think the one story that the memory is very vivid for me, and it's sort of my why on why I do the work that I do. So I remember on the bus, it was like 5 o'clock in the morning in Waianae, St. John's Road, and this was when the homeless problem was getting really bad. So we were at a stoplight and it's pitch black outside, and you know, so now there's more tents, and I think at that point I kind of just assumed most of them were adults, right? And so one morning I'm looking out of the bus window and I see this kid walking around, and I notice that there's a TV, and you know, this was back in the day when TVs had to be plugged in, like the old school TVs. There's no electrical outlet at the beach, right? So I'm sitting there thinking, why does this kid have a TV like outside of this tent with nowhere to go? And I think that's when it hit me that obviously they had a home prior to, otherwise there'd be no use for a TV. And the fact that they have this TV out in front of this tent to me meant that there was hope that there would be a place for the TV in the future. Mm-hmm. And I just started crying on the bus on the way to school, because just the idea of family and what that means, and home and what that looked like, and hope and what that could feel like. For me, that was a really pivotal moment growing up when I realized that my community in Waianae is very much plagued by poverty and systems of poverty, and just wanting to dedicate my life and my work to making sure that I'm elevating the people that don't have the opportunities that I might have had. And I really felt like there was no difference from me and this kid except our circumstances. And I wanted to always make sure that whatever work I do is done with my community in mind.
Jordana, do you have any role models or anyone whose like leadership styles you try to mimic?
Yeah, there's plenty. So Ruth Bader Ginsburg is one of my all-time ultimate heroes. She's just such an impressive force to me. You know, she's quiet, but she's powerful. She's thoughtful. The things that she says were always very meaningful and well thought out. And she never bragged or boasted about anything. She just put her head down and did the work. And she, I think a big one for me with RBG was her professional respect and courtesy, regardless of other people's belief systems. My mother is another one. She's just a saint. So, yeah, a few strong women for sure.
Have you found, or I guess, what's the most difficult thing that you found so far with this job?
I think the difficult thing with any government role is just the systems aspect. You know, I think when you get into government, you realize what you're really working with are a bunch of tiny little systems that make up a really big giant system. And any aspect of it impacts the larger perspective. Mm-hmm. And it's incredibly difficult sometimes to change certain things, even if you are changing or making advances in one area. And so I think the systemic nature of government can be a beast, but I also view it as just an incredible opportunity to make really impactful change. So I would say that's probably the challenge, but it's a challenge that I think is a worthwhile endeavor and probably one of the most impactful, meaningful ones.
Yeah, things don't happen as quickly as maybe you would like it to. But on the flip side, is there anything that surprised you about this job in a good way? Something you weren't expecting?
Well, the county moves a heck of a lot faster than I thought it would.
Oh, good.
Again, I came from the state. I'm not saying the state's slow by any means. I think the focus is just a lot bigger. It's a statewide lens. So what I've definitely been learning at the county is there are more opportunities to pivot much quicker, mm-hmm. which is actually really nice.
When it comes to access, you know, you kind of mentioned this, but quality childcare programs, it's different, like you said, from that experience that you had when you were very young. It's different for families based on income, on situation. What is your strategy as you take on this new role to make it so that all Keiki can succeed? Like you said, no matter where they're from, what their upbringing, what their family's financial status is.
Yeah, excellent question. I think there's a few different strategies kind of already in existence. I definitely think one thing I'm really excited to do here at the county level is to really do a deeper dive on our community demographics. So how many kids are in each community? What does that look like? What are the income levels? To sort of prioritize where there is need that is very unique to our island communities, and what does it look like for each community? Because even if, you know, I have this high quality program, it might not be something families want. They might want a Hawaiian medium program, for example. They might want a family childcare home, right? Because the home-based setting is also a quality program that can be administered in a home that might be more comfortable for kids. So I think the goal for me is really just making sure that families have options that they can select from that meet their needs, and that we're strategizing on increasing access based on the needs of those communities. So I really am looking forward to working with existing programs and families to really make that determination on what exactly is it they're looking for and how can we at the county support that.
When you're done with this job, I mean, I know you're not even a month in, but you know, after you're done with this, what do you hope to leave behind? What do you hope to, you know, to change, to affect, to kind of be your legacy?
I think my ultimate goal of, like, if someone's reading my eulogy, what I hope is that adults just learn more effective ways to interact and support kids. And whether I do that on a systems level or an individual basis, that doesn't matter to me, like, as long as I'm doing it. And I want folks to be, like, I want my friends and my family members to look at me and say, yeah, I learned how incredible kids are and how incredible my relationships with other people could be because of this nurturing, responsive relationship we can have. And just making sure that kids feel loved.
And do you have children?
No.
Do you want to have children?
Maybe. Maybe one day.
Jordana, is there anything we missed?
No, I don't think so.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And it is another Town Hall Thursday tonight. We'll be at Nana Ikopono. That meeting starts at 7, a little bit later to give folks some extra travel time. Jordana, you'll be there too?
No, oh, I'm not so this time. Bummed. You've been at, it's you've my been community. So I know. I'm heading to a conference for prenatal to 3, actually. Oh, so awesome. I'll still be focusing on young kids, but I will be missing my community's town hall. But I know it'll go well.
And we'll be sure to catch up with you after that trip. To see everything that you're bringing back to help us here in the city and county of Honolulu. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And if you have any questions for Jordana, don't forget, you can send them our way by heading to oneoahu.org/podcast. We'll try to get her on in the near future to answer some of your questions, and she'll be at some of the town hall meetings as we head further down the line for this year's 2024 town hall tour. Mahalo once again to Jordana. Mahalo to you for listening, and until next time, aloha.